Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, and as you're getting seated, if you would find in your bulletin John chapter 9, which was read today, we're going to look at it and Ephesians 5 together. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you ever been ignored? Going a step farther, have you ever been gawked at in a way that made you feel that your humanity was being ignored? I remember once lying on a doctor's table awaiting treatment that involved a sensitive part of my body. And while I was lying alone in the table, anxiously waiting, I hear the doctor approaching the outside and saying with, I think, a little bit too much glee to a young female nurse, "Hey, you want to come see?" Okay, I get training and teaching, I guess, but I'm not a case study. I'm right here. This is me we're talking about. But something of that happens at the beginning of John chapter 9. Here is a man who has been born blind. He's always been blind, blind from birth, it tells us. And this is in a time where there is no Braille or seeing eye dogs or special school programs. His entire life, he has relied on the pity of others begging. He's the kind of person that people get used to and then completely ignore. But verse 1, the very beginning of this, Jesus sees the man. Jesus often sees people on the margins in a special way. The disciples seem to talk about him right in front of him. Think of how the adults often speak about the children right over their heads. This can also sometimes be the experience of people with physical disabilities as well. They talk about him as if he's merely a case study. But Jesus sees him. Last week from the experience of the Samaritan woman at the well, we saw that Jesus welcomes you, Jesus knows you, Jesus satisfies you, and we could add to that today that Jesus sees you. He notices you. He doesn't miss you. So to begin this life-changing encounter, Jesus sees, like no one else does, Jesus sees a man in need of his healing touch. But he also sees that he needs more than just a physical miracle. There are deeper things going on too, which we'll look at. And so to kind of frame the message that we see in this passage, I'm going to give you three kind of titles, and then we're going to look at it through. So give you some words at the beginning so you can kind of frame it and then follow through. So the three sections that I see in this is, one, there is a physical healing, and then there is a spiritual revealing, and then new living. Physical healing, spiritual revealing, and then new living. So first, the physical healing. Verse 6 says, "Then Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes with mud and said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam.' So he went and washed and came back seeing." And we dare not skip this part and just jump to a deeper spiritual meaning. Jesus transforms this man's life. Jesus heals his physical ailment. Our bodies matter to God. And through the healing, Jesus enables this man to then participate in society in a way that he never was able to before. Jesus heals this man who had been born blind. Now, I will say that I have prayed for people who have been healed. I've prayed for people who have been healed right on the spot. But I will say, I have never prayed for a blind person who was healed. But I do know someone who has. A woman in the church where I grew up, someone that I have known my entire life, family friend, personal friend, her name is Edwina. She was the director of a global mission organization. And there's a translator in this story. His name is Praveen. Praveen later became a priest himself and actually told this story from his perspective also in the church where I grew up. So I've heard it from both of them, and I know his daughter. These are people that I personally know. This isn't something I read in a book. So Edwina was on a mission trip in India. So have you heard the joke? What do you call someone who speaks three languages? Trilingual. What do you call someone who speaks two languages? Bilingual. What do you call someone who speaks one language? American. Right. So I don't know that Edwina speaks any other languages. I don't believe she does. But if she does, I certainly don't know about it. But I guarantee you she doesn't speak any Indian languages. So on her mission trip, she needed a young translator to work with her, and that was the man named Praveen. And at one of these services, while they were doing the ministry, people were being prayed for healing, and a young man who had been born blind was brought to Edwina to pray for him. Edwina wasn't entirely sure what to do about that, but she began to pray. And she prayed in what's called, she prayed in tongues. And she noticed that her translator was looking at her rather oddly, and she realized he probably thinks he's supposed to be translating what I'm praying right now. And so she stopped and explained to him that she was praying in tongues. It's something the Bible talks about as a gift from God, a spiritual gift from God, and that he hasn't expected to translate this since it's not English. And he looked back at her and he said, "Well, do you know what you're saying?" And she said, "No, it's something the Bible talks about. It's the gift of tongues. I don't know what I'm saying, but it's a gift from God. It's not something I understand." And he looked back at her, shocked, and said, "You are declaring the praises of God in my village tribal dialect," which is in a completely different part of the country that Edwina had never been to. Now, to say the least, that got their attention. And knowing that the Holy Spirit was at work doing something, they continued to pray together in his language, him understanding and her not understanding. And the young man that they prayed for, the man born blind, was healed and received his sight right there on the spot. Jesus healed a man born blind back in John chapter 9, and he healed that man born blind in India. God sees and God heals. There's a physical healing that takes place. Our bodies matter to God. And Jesus steps into this man's world and brings physical restoration. There's a physical healing that takes place. And there's also a spiritual revealing. Jesus uses this event to do something deeper. Jesus is revealed to this man, and through him, revealed to us as well. The man who has been healed in verse 33 says, "If this man Jesus were not from God, he could do nothing." So he gets it. Jesus needs to be from God to be able to do what he just did. Others are so committed to their belief that Jesus is not from God that they have to try to explain away the miracle. They say that Jesus is not one of us, so therefore he can't heal, and if you're saying that he healed you, then you're lying. But this guy gets it, because he knows what God just did for him. And he says that if Jesus were not God, then he couldn't, not from God, then he couldn't have healed me. But he did heal me. So he must be from God. In the Old Testament, about roughly 1,000 years before this event, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7, God promises that when the Messiah comes, that we know to be Jesus, the Bible makes that clear, but when the Messiah comes, he will be, quote, "a light for the nations to open the eyes of the blind." And John chapter 9, verse 5, read today, Jesus claims that he is the light of the world and then proceeds to open the eyes of a blind man, which is exactly what we are told the Messiah would do. And this whole event is done and written down for us in a way to declare that Jesus is the divine king. He's the Messiah, God incarnate who has come among us. This is who Jesus is. He's being revealed to this man. He's being revealed to these religious leaders and revealed to us. Now, sometimes people come to Jesus initially more in an intellectual way. That's what first draws us to Jesus. Sometimes. A young man in this congregation who came to faith recently and was baptized, A major part of his story was an intellectual understanding. He had questions that needed to be answered first. And that's great and very important. And Jesus does that too. Other times, people come to Jesus first because of something God did in their lives. Intellectual questions are part of it, but that often can come later. But sometimes God's work in our lives is what draws us to him first. And that's what happens to this man in John 9. God changes his life first, and then he can come to put his faith in Jesus. Jesus heals him, and in doing so, reveals himself to him. Jesus is being revealed. And at the end of this event, Jesus goes and finds this man in the crowd and says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now that your life has been changed, do you believe in the promised one of God, the Messiah of God?" And the man responds, "I don't know who that is, but yes, I will believe in him." So he says, "And who is he that I may believe in him?" And Jesus responds, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." Jesus is being revealed as the divine one that's been promised all along, the Son of Man. Jesus is being revealed in this for who he is. He reveals himself to this man. At the beginning of this encounter, Jesus saw him, but he could not see Jesus. And now this man can see Jesus physically because of the healing, but also spiritually recognizing who Jesus is revealed to be. Now he can see Jesus too. Jesus is being revealed. Some accept him and receive sight, and some reject him and become blind, as it says in verse 39. But Jesus is being revealed to the world. There's a physical healing and a spiritual revealing. And also then a new living. So how does the man respond after Jesus has healed him, after he's been healed by Jesus and Jesus has revealed himself to him? Verse 38, the man says, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Jesus. He doesn't just say sort of, "Hooray, I'm healed," and go about his business. He falls down and worships Jesus, the one who healed him, the one who revealed himself to be God incarnate. He's been brought from physical and spiritual darkness into the light of God, and he worships and begins a new life in the light of Jesus. And our reading this morning from Ephesians 5 encourages us to walk as children of the light and take no part in the works of darkness. And that passage, Ephesians 5, helps us understand a bit more of what that new living looks like. As we believe and worship, our lives should reflect our position as children of God. So verse 1 in that passage in Ephesians 5 tells us to imitate God as beloved children. As beloved children. Through the grace of God, which we receive in faith, we're welcomed as God's children. And as our eyes are opened to God and we put our faith in him, we are made his children. And then as his children, we need to then walk in the ways of God, in ways of light and not darkness. And that passage then gives us a whole bunch of things that characterize darkness. It's not an exhaustive list, but things that as his children, who have been healed and come to know Jesus, things that we need to then leave behind and have nothing to do with. And so it lists sexual immorality, impurity, all covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, which probably encapsulates about 90% of what's on TV these days. But to just explain those things away and say that they don't really matter actually is to align ourselves with the darkness and with our former blindness. And to do that means not living as God's children, but preferring instead to go backwards into darkness and distance from God. This really does matter. How we talk and behave and who shares our bed does matter. And as God's children, We are called to believe and worship and walk in new living. If our former lives without Jesus and our current lives with Jesus as children of God look the same, then we're not walking in the light as we should. Many things that our world does and encourages others to do are works of darkness that drag us from the light. But verse 6 encourages us, "But let no one deceive you. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Don't fall into the trap of believing the lies that say you can just do whatever you want, believing that the darkness doesn't matter or that these things really aren't wrong. Walk as children of God in His glorious light. He's freed us from the darkness that used to bind us. So walk in Him in the light of freedom and love and wholeness. When Jesus heals us, when He reveals Himself to us, we are called to new living as beloved children of God. Jesus did and does heal, physically, emotionally. He knows our frail bodies and sometimes even steps in and overrules the natural world and heals as only He can. He sees our brokenness and meets us right there. Our aloneness, our fear, our pain, where we've been ignored. He sees us and He heals. And He reveals Himself to us. And through the power of God, we can see and receive Him in faith. And as those who are called and claimed by God, we are then empowered for new living. Walking in the light of God, following His ways, being imitators of Jesus, turning from the darkness and living in freedom that we have in Christ. Live as a child of God, not in the darkness, but in His light. So may we see and receive and walk in the light and love of our Lord Jesus. May we know and experience Jesus who heals and reveals and calls us to new life in Himself. There's a physical healing, a spiritual revealing, and new living in Jesus. Amen.